It's time for a real estate roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So there's some new surveys and some information about what may be holding back buyers and whether their feelings are real or imaginary.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, 2016, the existing home sales increased 3.8%, which hit a 10-year high, but we still have affordability pressures, student debt, the possible down payment confusion, all kinds of different things going on. So Statistically, over 90% of the current owners, which would be about 8 out of 10 non-homeowners, indicated that owning a home is still part of the American dream.
So before you go on, so there was always that question as to whether this was something that could constitute the American dream. And I guess during the crash, the real estate crash, those numbers had fallen, but they're now back up to 87%.
That's right.
People are feeling it again.
They're feeling the love. But despite these positive feelings, optimism about it being a good time to buy is starting to diminish among those non-homeowners. The percentage share who believe it's a good time to buy has declined from 63%, which is what we had in the first quarter 2016, to about 55% fourth quarter last year. So
yeah,
that's a significant decline, I think.
Yeah, so they're feeling it. I guess home prices have gone up. Mortgage rates have gone up. So they're starting to feel, hey, this is starting to get a little bit beyond my ability to buy a house.
That's right. And 87% of those non-current homeowners want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you realize, but the high rents and home prices are up 41% in the past 5 years. So that's significant.
Yeah.
And then along with limited entry-level supply of homes for sale and having to repay back student debt, those two things combined have created a lot of challenges.
Yeah, it's always something, isn't it?
I know. If it's not the college debt, it's, I don't know, putting your parents into senior.
The fact is, though, that you said there was some confusion about down payments. And so that didn't seem like something that would be that confusing. What's the confusion about down payments?
You know, Steve, remarkably, about 87% of non-homeowners believe that the required down payment is 10%.
Yeah.
So these young millennials who are, you know, trying to pay off this debt and trying to save money towards purchasing a home, you know, they think they need 10%. Some people even think 20%. But the reality is you can put, you know, as little as 3% down. Now, when you put less money down, let's say you do put 3% down, or even for that matter, 10%, you have what's called the PMI insurance.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little more costly. But at the same time, you don't have to endure years of trying to save money, you know, to put as a down payment. So you can buy a home, assuming yet that your income debt ratios are strong enough, sooner than later.
But all in all, home prices have continued to rise. As a matter of fact, home prices have risen 5.3% because of the solid demand and tight supply. But there's some interesting information. There's a quote from Svenja Gudell, the chief economist at housing data provider Zillow. He said that some relief from higher prices may be on the horizon. Rising mortgage rates, a leveling off of rents in many cities could cool demand for homes in coming months. But he also said, and I think this is the point I wanted to get to, that if rent costs are flattening, this may encourage developers to build more single-family homes. So it seems to me that this may be the very beginning of a leveling off of all these rental units that we're seeing being built all over the country, and maybe more concentration on single-family homes, and that would improve the supply, which may make it more affordable.
That's right. That would be a welcoming sight, because our inventory levels really are low. Just in, you know, my local area, anything less than 6 months supply, that's the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So anything less than 6 months is a seller's market. Anything greater than 6 months is a buyer's market. And a lot of the little markets that I'm working in, we're at 4 months worth of inventory.
Yeah,
so, you know, and selling homes in 30 days or less, assuming they're priced right. And, you know, not all homes sell in 30 days. It is a function of price point and how you have your house priced in comparison to the competition.
From time to time, we talk about you know, what's going on in your world. And I'm always curious to find out how you're recommending that people price their homes today, whether the market is tight enough and it is that much of a seller's market that people are getting more than they're asking, less than they're asking. What are you finding right now?
You know, assuming that it's priced right, you don't need a lot of room to negotiate. Let's just, for simplicity's sake, a home, you put it on the market for $300,000 and it's worth in the low threes. You have a couple of price points you could put it at. You could put it at 3.25, mm-hmm. which you would get a healthy amount of people coming to look at it. Or you could put it at 300, which is priced right at where the market is. By pricing it at 300, you're most likely going to have a rush of buyers looking at that house, because 300, any of the whole numbers are critical cutoff points. So if you put it at 300, you very well may get multiple offers and bid that number up. If you put it at 3.25, you're probably going to end up selling it at the same price you would have. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But you won't get as many offers.
But you're not going to get as much offers. And the more offers that you have, the stronger it is for you as a seller, because you get to pick and choose. And then when you're in a situation where there are multiple offers, you can put a little bit more demands on the buyer. Say, hey, Mr. Buyer, I want a little bit more down payment money, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What about using this $300,000 as an example? What about listing it for $299.99?
I hate that. And the reason why I hate that is most consumers are, you know, starting their home search on the internet. Mm-hmm. So they go on whatever site that they look at, and it's everything's in a price category. So they may run it from 250 to 300. Well, if you're at 300, they're going to start at 300 and go to say 350.
Yeah, so you're
at
not going to be. Yeah.
You get both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. So if you're at 299, you're going to miss someone who's starting at 300.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's so silly, though.
It is silly.
You know, I mean, that one little, that penny can make such a big difference or whatever, right?
It does. So,
oh, wow.
I personally prefer the whole numbers because of the way that people do their home searches.
All right. Good advice from veteran real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, Florida, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.